Bolivia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. We've been looking at this issue since Monday, but we think it's a good idea to use the time now to have a look at it. The existence of collective rights is something that's been discussed before in this room and in this working group. Nobody with this declaration is trying to play off individual against collective rights, because that's not the point of the exercise. The drafting of this is both inclusive and complementary, and the rights mentioned in this declaration can be exercised both individually and collectively. Collective rights are enshrined in various international human rights documents, in the global collective imagination, and elsewhere. I don't think there's any need to bring into question the existence of concepts which have been negotiated, agreed, and endorsed for several years. The International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, in its Article 27, stipulates, and I quote, "In states in which there are minorities, persons who belong to those minorities shall not be denied their right to exercise in common with members of their community the right to use their own language, follow their own religion, and engage in their own cultural activities," end of quotation. In the Nagoya Protocol, reports from special rapporteurs on nutrition and housing, and in many other verdicts handed down by national and international courts, collective rights have been dealt with very clearly and specifically. Obviously, you can look at human rights in many different ways in many different societies, but I don't think there's any denying that there are collective rights as such, and individual rights that, if you prefer, can be exercised by a community or collective. Collectives, communities, groups are everywhere these days. They have been part of development, social and economic development, and political development for years. That has led us to recognize human groups, collectives, and communities, and international instruments have accorded those rights as they have to anybody else. If collective rights are not recognized, Chairman, then what will happen with genetic resources held by people in rural areas, local communities, indigenous communities? What will happen to those groups who live collectively and therefore want to exercise their rights collectively? Collective rights are essential for peasants and other people working in rural areas. Not recognizing the collective aspect of the way in which they live and the way in which they farm is to turn your back on and ignore an irrefutable fact. Individuals make up communities, yes, but their lifestyle in every aspect, educational, cultural, and collective, is based on, and productive is based on, the collective. As an expert said this morning, it's an identity to be a peasant, and that identity is both individual and collective. This declaration is quite balanced, and it just refers to the possibility that various rights in this declaration can be exercised both individually and collectively. It makes no sense not admitting that. I hope this is just a lapse, and that after this discussion on collective rights, it will become clearer than ever before that we are not talking about something new. We're talking about a cornerstone of the international human rights system, which has been negotiated and is in existence and recognized as such. We reiterate this should be kept in the document, and we think that the word shall, incidentally, I'll just add this while I've got the floor, should be retained, not the word should, as has been suggested by several delegations. Thank you.